February 14th is Valentine's Day. And of course, Valentine's Day is celebrated around the country by many people. And when we think of Valentine's Day, we think of love. There is much talk of love in the world, but the sad thing about it is a lot of it's sensual and physical. And there's also a lot of talk about love in Christendom, but the sad thing about that is that a lot of it is shallow and superficial. When we look in the scripture, we see that love is necessary, and love is defined in scripture. Now, love is much more than words, though we use our speech or our words to express love, but they must be genuine when we do it. One can say that they love someone and yet really not love, so it needs to be genuine. Love involves more than actions, than words. It involves action and doing. A person can do things for various reasons and yet not really love. Thus, love also involves motives. I think probably most people realize that 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter, and it's very familiar to many, many people. Verses 1 through 3 in 1 Corinthians 13 tells of the need of love, and verses 4 through 8 tells what love is and what it isn't. Now we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. God is not saying that the things that are mentioned here are not important, because they are important. But what he's saying is that if love doesn't accompany them, they are empty in the sight of others, and they are empty in God's sight also. Now, first of all, we want to think about the ability to communicate. And we'll read verse 1, the ability to communicate. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, the ability to talk well is very important. When I went to college in Omaha, the Omaha Baptist Bible College, one of our classes was a speech class. And in that class, we learned to express ourselves well. And then I also had a homiletics class, which trained us who were studying to be pastors how to preach and so forth. And there we also had speech class and speech teaching. Now, if I could speak as to move crowds, whether it was in the pulpit as a pastor, as I am, or in the Sunday school class, or in some club meeting or regular conversation, and if I could speak numerous languages so that I didn't need an interpreter, and yet if I didn't have love, the Bible says that I'd be as sounding brass, or the word for that is as a gong, and a tinkling cymbal, which is just an annoying noise. So it's important when I speak and preach, and when any of us speak, wherever we speak, it's important that we love those that we speak to. And secondly, we want to think of the gift of prophecy. in verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy." Now, the Bible has a lot in it about prophetic truth, things that are yet coming, and a lot of them are hard to understand. But if I have the ability to understand them and can tell others what the Bible says concerning that, and what's coming in the future and so forth. But if I didn't have love, the Bible says at the end of verse 2, I am nothing. And then also in verse 2 it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge." Now, verse 2, if I have the ability to understand, and mysteries are things that are not yet revealed or made plain, but if I have the ability to understand those and declare those, the deep truths that the Word of God teaches, and he says, if I have all knowledge, or if I'm able to understand how they apply to one's life and make it practical so I can explain what the Bible says and then how to apply it to our lives. And so I need to be able to teach others very well. But if I do that, no matter how well I teach it, if I do that and yet I don't love those that I'm talking to or preaching to or we're teaching or whatever, then the Bible says, I am nothing. And then in the second part of verse 2, and if I have all, let's see, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So if I take God at his word and I can see how God can take care of any miraculous thing, any kind of unbelievable obstacle or circumstance in my life or in the country or whatever, so it doesn't trouble me, but I depend on him and I look to him for wisdom in order to overcome those things and believe that God is able to give me victory over those. If I'm able to do that and yet still don't love people and love those that I'm telling and talking to, the Bible says that I am nothing. And then God wants me to be charitable. Number 5. Notice the first part of verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor." Now, though I see someone that's real poor or really in need, and it says, though I bestow all of my goods so that I don't have anything left, but I want to help them, and so I give everything I have to help someone that's in need or has nothing. Now, the reaction of people in the world might be, boy, he's really foolish doing what he's doing. He should keep what he has. And then, of course, there's other people that would say, my, what dedication he has. And yet, if I do that, and yet do it without love, don't love those that I'm ministering to or trying to help, the Bible says, in God's eyes, it doesn't profit me anything. It profiteth me nothing. And if I'm sixthly, if I'm willing to sacrifice, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. So if I'm willing to make a great sacrifice, even to the point of death, but don't love those that I'm ministering to. It says it doesn't profit me anything. There's a lot of Christians in the world today that are being persecuted and are suffering for their faith. And it's just such a blessing to see the dedication that these believers have. Yet the Bible says that if we make such sacrifices and are persecuted or willing to even die, but we don't really love those people, then it says, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing in God's eyes and before others. You see, love is very important, and it's a matter of the heart, not just thinking, well, I love this person, but it's a matter of the heart. It must be genuine, and it must be selfless, not selfish desires. Well, if I do this, then God will really bless me for it. No, that's not why we should do it. We should do it because we love the Lord and we love that person and we want to do what God wants. Now, the Apostle John emphasizes love in the scripture. In John chapter 15, verse 12, he says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then if we go back to 1 John chapter 4, 11, which the Apostle John also wrote, he said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now, how did God so love us? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to earth, to leave heaven's glory and come to earth and even grow up and go to the cross and die on the cross of Calvary and pay the penalty for our sin, that it might be possible for us to ask forgiveness and have our sin forgiven and have eternal life. So that's how God loved us so much, and that's how he showed it. Now, John writes more in 2 John, verse 5, he said, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." So the scripture, throughout the scriptures, we learn the importance of loving one another. Now, let's go on in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we read this, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which we had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning." So he said, "I write no new commandment, but an old commandment." And again, we've been told this and showed this all through the scriptures, the importance of love. It's an old commandment. But then we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35. And then notice he said, "A new commandment I give unto you." Now before he said it's an old commandment, but now he says it's a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as, notice, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, why does he say a new commandment now? It's new because even though we've been taught before of the importance of loving, now he showed it. He showed it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory, as we said, and came to earth and died for our sin in order that it might be possible for us to have everlasting life. So this is why it's new, because not only are we told to love one another, but we're shown how to love one another. We're to love as God has loved us, and we're to love as Christ himself demonstrated for us by giving his life for us in order that we might be saved. The story is told of a young girl who met this fella, and they fell in love, and she married him, and then they had children. But even though she had a husband and children, her life just seemed empty, and it just seemed like there was something missing in her life, and she was searching for what she could do and what she should do that would satisfy this empty feeling that she had. And then we are told that the girl heard the gospel, and she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And even though she became a child of God, her housekeeping still was not very good. And her meals that she cooked were many times just thrown together. But she would stay up at nights and have devotion with the kids and hug the kids and pray with the kids and kiss the kids. Her life changed, and her husband would come and he would give her his wife a big hug, and the kids would tell their mother, "Mother, I like it since you have Christ in your life." And the reason they expressed that, because she demonstrated love for them that she never demonstrated before. And so it's very important, if we're really going to love like God wants us to love, we need to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to have our sins forgiven, and we need to have eternal life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, even though you think you love those that are close to you, yet you cannot love them as you should until you have repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. And then, once you are a child of God, then, because you have his love dwelling in you, you will then be able to show love like you never did before. And so I encourage you that love is important, but you got to know Christ as your Savior first of all. And then when you know him, then seek to love others as God loved you and as he loves others. And so our love needs to be genuine and from the heart in order that it might be what God wants it to be, and that which will be a blessing to others in our families or wherever. So may it be true that we love others as God loves us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we've had in your word. And Lord, help us to love one another and to love others as you love us. And Lord, I pray that our love would be genuine, that we would truly love others from our heart, and that others would be able to tell without a shadow of a doubt that we are a person of love and we truly love them and we love others. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.